Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join. Shop your favorite brands and save. Sephora, Boots, Argus, Temu, Adidas, Trip.com. The list is long. Save online at over 550 stores. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose bank transfer or PayPal. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, get a new outfit. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to rakuten.co.uk or get the app. That's Rakuten.
Sometimes there's nothing better than sitting down with a nice glass of wine, turning on some great music to relax, catch a great vibe, and leave the day behind. My friend up in Seattle, Al Nesbitt, and his band, The Alchemy, have recently released some new music that I really love, and I really think you will too, and I wanted to tell you about it. He's an amazing guitarist and composer, and he and his band have created some really unique and beautiful music. The album is called A Million Shiny Things, and it's a Spanish guitar influence album, which is always super sexy and cool, but also has a little bit of orchestral pop and even a little bit of rock, but just enough to feel it. It never loses the vibe, and it always feels really, really good. When you hear some of the guitar playing, you'll ask yourself, how in the hell does he play that? Seriously, it's breathtaking guitar work. So you can find A Million Shiny Things by Al Nesbitt and The Alchemy on all of the major streaming platforms, so you can easily listen to it wherever and whenever you'd like, at home, in the car, even at the office. And it's the perfect fit to have playing in the background, even if you're busy. Sometimes just having a great music playing while you're multitasking helps push things along a bit. Lastly, Al has vinyl for sale through his website. Vinyl always sounds so much better than any other format. You can order A Million Shiny Things through his website, www.alnesbitt.com. You'll see the online store section, and if you click it, it will direct you to his store. And the cool part is that Al is offering a 10% discount on the vinyl and CDs too, if you're still interested in CDs. Input the code UNDERSTOOD and the discount will be automatically applied. The vinyl will be shipped right to you in a super sturdy vinyl shipping box right away. So everyone, head over to www.alnesbitt, that's alnesbitt.com, to order this amazing new album that I know you're going to love. Don't forget to look for them later this year live. His website will have updates for performances later this year, so keep looking. Welcome back to Misunderstood, you guys. I'm your host, Rachel. You could tell today I'm sitting with my producer, Allison, who's a longtime friend, and we did a really fun episode. And so we're sitting here having a conversation about it because it was so good. And we are 100 days away from the Summer Olympics in Paris, which Allison is so excited about. Allison, tell me what it was like for you growing up watching the Olympics.
Everybody loved the Olympics growing up. It's something you watch with your mom. And I have a picture from 1984 of Mary Lou Retton getting ready to do the balance beam. It was a big year. Who doesn't love Michael Phelps in the pool? Everyone has a memory from the Olympics.
That's so true. I also really did love the gymnastics. I'm looking forward to the gymnastics. Swimming obviously was really exciting to watch, especially when Michael Phelps. And what was the really hot kind of dumb guy that became famous with Michael Phelps?
Ryan Lochte.
Oh yeah, love him. Love Ryan. Lochte.
And this year Simone Biles is back, so everyone's excited.
Everyone is excited. So this year, what's exciting about it is there's a whole new sport being introduced into the world of Olympics. I think there's a couple, but the one we are featuring is breakdancing. I'm sure some of you are like, what? But as you listen to today's episode, I think you're going to come to see what an incredible athletes these dancers really are. And I had the best conversation with today's guest. His name is Ivan Flips Velez, and he's a legend in the breakdancing world. He's thrilled to see the evolution of the sport he's been doing since he was 14 years old, take center stage internationally. And what did you think? I know you did like a pre-interview with him, Allison, and you were like, you have to talk to this guy. You have to have a conversation with him. He's so good.
Well, first of all, I'm from Brooklyn, where breakdancing was huge when I was younger. And these guys are athletes. They're gymnastics, you know, into themselves. They combine so much stuff with dance and gymnastics that it's an it's not your regular person doesn't just start doing it. It's not like disco. Everybody yeah. can't do it. So right. he was the coolest. And he's so passionate about it that you can't help but feel that too.
Right. Well, so the thing about flips is if you've seen a dance movie, a TV show with choreography, anything like that, a musical performance, you've probably seen some of the work that Flips has been a part of. He's worked on everything from Dancing with the Stars to Michael Jackson's One by Cirque du Soleil to the movies Honey, You Got Served, Stomp the Yard, to performing with such stars as Madonna, Janet Jackson, Missy Elliott. His resume was totally insane. So he was the person to come on and talk about this. And I really loved our conversation. I think he gets really emotional talking about his past. And then he obviously talks about the love of dance and where he got that from. But I'm very excited because he's the sweetest guy. And so I wanted to thank you, Allison, for bringing him to my attention. And I'm sure our listeners will be excited to hear our conversation that we're about to have. Anything else you want to say, Al?
No, I think everyone just listen up and get excited for the Olympics coming up this summer.
100 days away, Olympics in Paris. Okay, get ready for my conversation with Flips Velez. Flips, thank you so much for joining me on Misunderstood. It's so fun to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited. You have no idea.
So I think it's pretty incredible that breakdancing has now been accepted and is now like going to be in the Olympics in Paris 2024. When you hear about breakdancing and the Olympics, these are two things that people, you know, do not put together. So this must be really exciting for you.
Super exciting. If we date back to 1984, right, with Lionel Richie closing out the ceremonies, we had breakdancers on there. Now, fast forward 40 years later, we're on the main stage as athletes. I call us dance athletes.
Right. That's amazing. How often is it that they add a new sport in the Olympics? Do you know?
Every 4 years, they have trials. So back in 2018 in Buenos Aires, they had the trials for three new sports, and breaking was one of them. Based on the turnout, which was incredible, the numbers, the youngest was 6 years old, and the oldest, I want to say, was like 89. Everyone was coming to watch specifically the bouts, which were one-on-ones, B-boys and B-girls. And it had like the numbers were just amazing. So they were like, you know what, let's fast forward and they pretty much vouch for it to become an actual sport in the Olympics. And here we are.
So breakdown, that's the pun on words, I guess, but like, tell me what breakdancing is, because when I think of it, I think of guys or girls spinning around on like a cardboard box on their head. Obviously it's progressed since then, but what would you categorize breakdancing as?
You're actually spot on. We did start dancing on the concrete in the Bronx, on cardboard, actually, to not hurt ourselves. But breaking is considered when you have top rock, you start at the very top. You take it down to the ground. You do some footwork, right? Then you have the continuous power moves, which is the most exciting, which is what I love. It's very, very close to gymnastics. And martial arts. You got flares, you got air flares, you got head spins, and then you have to end it with a freeze. So you have top rock, footwork, freezes, and power moves.
So is it like when we're watching, I would say, I'm going to compare it to ice skating. You know, some of us that watch it, love to watch it, it's beautiful, but we don't really know what the judges are looking for. I know you just came back from Paris. You were doing some preliminary judging, right? Tell me what the judges look for and what things, you know, we can spot, you know, as amateurs, and we don't know what we're looking at.
Okay. So as judges, there's a couple of boxes that have to be ticked. 60-second rounds. Now, if you go over, you get dinged or you get deducted. If you go under, too short, you get deducted. So you're given 60 seconds. It's a one-on-one. So one person comes out, a B-boy or a B-girl. They have to finish and then get off the dance floor before the other person answers back, right? We're judging on creativity, how creative you are, what you bring to the table, think mm-hmm. outside the box, personality. We want to see that you are in the rawest form, bringing forth the best you as possible with the movement mm-hmm. as well, to be original. Variety. Can you do top rock into footwork, into freezes? Or are you just like a what we call a one-trick pony where you just stay up top or you just stay spinning? You get dinged for that as well. Performance. So overall performance, how you start the middle of your round or your solo, how you end it, how you connect both in battle with your opponent and with the audience and with the judges. Right. And the last but not least, which I love, is musicality. So the rhythm and the beat, we're giving you a beat for a reason. Please dance on beat.
There's no one that deserves a day dedicated to celebrating them more than moms do. Moms do just about everything. I can speak from experience. I'm a chauffeur, a cook, a teacher, a therapist. The list goes on and on. So for Mother's Day, let's go all out, whether you're getting a gift for your own mom or buying a little present for yourself. Get the gift that will keep on giving. Luxurious products from Osea. Their Mega Moisture Duo is a value pack with two body care moisturizers, the Undaria Algae Body Oil and the Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. They both have that amazing citrusy scent that has become Osea's signature. And for all you listeners right now, you can get an additional 10% off your first order with our code UNDERSTOOD at Osea Malibu. So I just want to talk to you about a little bit of what I'm obsessed with right now from them. I ordered the Seabotic Water Cream. I ordered the Hyaluronic Sea Serum for your face. I ordered the Ocean Eyes and the lotion I already had and the oil I already had. Now, you guys, I'm not kidding when I say these are some of my favorites. I use this product before I go to sleep every night on my face. And then with the body stuff, I actually keep it in my shower and I use the oil while the water's running. And then right before I get out, I put the lotion on. My skin is so soft. People comment about the way my face and my skin looks so hydrated. I live in Florida, so it's easy to get really dry skin. And this has just been like such a solution for me that I haven't been able to find anywhere else. So treat mom to the everyday spa experience she deserves with clean vegan skin and body care from Osea. Again, get 10% off your first order site-wide with code UNDERSTOOD at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. So head to OseaMalibu.com and use the code UNDERSTOOD for 10% off. These days, a lot of people are talking about the benefits of fasting, and they sound great. Weight loss, mental and physical performance, gut health. But on the other side of it, they worry about the whole not eating part. Well, that's exactly why ProLon was created. ProLon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making cells believe that they're fasting. What makes ProLon really stand out is that it isn't a diet. It's a science based on a Nobel Prize-winning discovery in medicine. Researched and developed over decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, ProLon helps promote healthy blood sugar, supports cardiovascular health, and reduces abdominal fat. It's like nothing you've ever tried before. So a couple weeks ago, I did the five-day program from start to finish. The whole process was amazing. I really was not hungry, you guys. You get everything you need delivered, pre-packaged and ready to go. It's separated by the day. They literally make it foolproof. And the snacks, soups, and drinks are all designed to activate your body's fasting state. I loved, especially I loved the tomato soup. That was one of my favorites. And you feel full after you eat it. And I kind of wanted to order more of the soups just so I had them in my cupboard. I think people are always concerned when it comes to a fast that they will be hungry or get the urge to cheat. But I have to say, I really didn't. And I loved the idea of kind of pressing the reset button on my body for a week. And I will tell you that afterwards, I definitely felt different. I felt like I looked different. I just had a different glow about me. So I feel like it was very, very helpful. And I would definitely recommend it and do it again. So right now, ProLon is offering Misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel listeners 10% off their five-day nutrition program. Go to ProLon.com/understood. That's ProLonLife.com/understood for this special offer. That's ProLonLife.com/understood.
That's so what we're looking for.
Is this something that's a routine that they're practicing before they get in there? Or is this something you throw at them and they're supposed to kind of ad lib?
So the ad lib, or the creative side of it, is what we love. When you get to freestyle, when you are free in your own style, creating your own movement based on what the DJ is playing. Sometimes you create a solo, or what we call a set, but if the music changes and there's more BPMs, beats per minute, it causes your brain to rewire and restructure what you planned on doing, which is also what we love when they innovate on it, like in the moment, just kind of think outside the box and recreate. You get points for that as well.
So, but will they do that in the actual Olympics? I mean, I feel like that's not normal, right? That people really follow a routine. They practice it, whether you're in gymnastics or in ice skating or whatever, and they follow that routine. This is something you're saying is a little bit different, that you get the ability to freestyle and that's what makes you stand out.
Yes, that is what makes you stand out, which is great. The problem as well is if you submit a routine, by the time you go and perform it on the dance floor, you have evolved a couple of moves. And sometimes when they fall out of their moves, you're forced to create almost a way to clean it up. You don't want to crash because you'll get dinged for that as well, which will also create an in-the-moment kind of spontaneous difference in your routine.
I want to talk about your resume of why you are the expert that you are in this. I mean, you are a dancer from what, 20, 25 years ago? To explain to people your history in this sport.
Okay. Yeah. So I started at 15 years old. Turn back the clock. Started in high school. There was a dance show. It was like a talent show. And we rented the movie Beat Street. So if you guys ever get to check that out, it was amazing. New York City Breakers and Rocksteady Crew, they got on the train. They went to the Roxy. And then in this amazing club scene, they had this epic battle where the crowd just opened up for them. It was insane. And that's when I fell in love with it. It ignited a passion that since I was 15 years old, I went to the Mecca of breaking. I went to New York. I moved there. I pursued almost as a student of the art and the culture. And I got really good. Thank God. I got really good really fast. I got well known for my flipping and my head spin. So I created a style where gymnastics, I call it flipping the script, where gymnastics and martial arts like capoeira and stuff I had learned at karate could be morphed into breaking. And once I got the head spin down packed, I was flown all over the world. Seoul, South Korea, Japan, the Netherlands, Madagascar, Africa. So I was able to not only travel the world, but also enrich myself in the culture of breaking. And what we do is we call each one teach one, is pass the torch to some of those countries that hadn't seen the evolution of breaking, because it started in the U.S. So yeah, three-time world champion. Yeah, I won, my team and I won the first ever World of Dance. We also won the UK championships. We were flown to London and beat Russia's top nine. We beat Korea's Jinjo crew, which was undefeated at the time. So yeah, pretty, and back-to-back champions at Ashes to Ashes coming out of Portland, Oregon, which is a world championship as well. So yeah, been around.
Yes, and it's so funny. I'm looking at three pages of your history of TV and web, film, track, stage that you've done. Yes. It's like endless, all the things you've done, from movies you've been in to, you know, choreographing things like Michael Jackson's one Cirque du Soleil. Yes. You did a couple of Cirque du Soleils, right? Tell me about that. I grew up on Michael Jackson. I love that music. What was it like to help choreograph that?
So being a part of the creative team for MJ1, number one, it's a dream come true. Yeah. So once I got the email and I got flown to the headquarters in Montreal, I started to see the wardrobe department, how they were making everything that Michael wanted to come to life. May he rest in peace while he was still alive. And that was the main objective of the show, was what would Michael do? What would Michael do? How would he like it? What would he choose here? So I was given, I submitted for Billie Jean. It's my favorite song. Mm-hmm. And he changed the world when he did the moonwalk for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, the backslide. So I submitted for Billie Jean. They said, do you mind choreographing it in a template, right? Like a previs, and send it in. And I got the job. So
God.
It's now been running for 10 years. And
is it with the same choreography that you did?
Yes, it's still running. I got invited. Yeah, I flew out, got invited to the 10-year anniversary. And I was just, I was in tears because sometimes you want to leave your mark. You want to leave your footprint. Yeah. And the DNA of Michael Jackson is so, it's like perfection as we all know it. He was such an incredible creative artist, both on and off the dance floor. And to have my work reign supreme for 10 years, it's like, you can't ask for anything better.
I'm curious as a kid, like what you saw, what you thought of like MTV, right? And they had the videos that came out and then Michael Jackson doing Thriller, stuff like that. Was that stuff that like, you know, helped get you on this path? Did you love that? And were you like, I want to do this?
I feel like when I watched Michael Jackson perform and sing, because a lot of people don't sing and perform as well, right?
Yeah.
It ignited something inside, like it, I call it, it tickles or it pulls on your heartstrings. And I wanted to be him so bad, so bad. I had the glove. My mom made me the glove. I learned the backslide, the moonwalk, forwards and backwards. Mm-hmm. But I really felt like if there was any way I could work with him or for him, it would make my dream come true. So I'm getting a little choked up that I was able to do that for him and continue his legacy. I mean, who didn't want to be MJ?
I know. You know? I mean, it must feel like such an honor that today you are part of the reason that he, his legacy goes on. You know, I mean, I think that's pretty spectacular. And then looking down this list, well, wait, before I get to more on this list, I'm curious what your family thinks of this. I know you said you were born in Puerto Rico. I know you had something that happened to you when you were 10. There was a fire, right? In your home. Tell me about that.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Okay.
This one's a little tough to get out, but when I was 10, we had moved from Puerto Rico. We were only at the house for about, I want to say a month or two.
And wait, set the scene. Who lived with you?
Okay. Yes. So my father actually helped us move from Puerto Rico to Florida, bought the first house. They were so happy. We were all like gung-ho, like, oh my God, our dreams are coming true. And we're so close to Disney World as well. So it was definitely like a big thing for the family to move. However, we had to learn English. I only spoke Spanish at the time. So it was, yeah, when you talk about a big life change, it was a culture shock as well. Yeah, so I had my little sister, my little sister Natasha, my older sister Jalira, and my little brother Pito. We call him Pito. His name is Ray. And at the time, it was around Christmas time, just after Christmas. So you're on the high of living in a new territory, learning a whole new language, and life couldn't get any better. I mean, we had our house and everything. So, yeah, one unlucky, very, very late night in January, I felt like I couldn't breathe, to be quite honest. I felt like something was suffocating me as I was trying to just, as I'm sleeping, just take in the next breath of air. It got really, really hot. But when I woke up, I did see like a blue flame on the wall, which was, for a 10-year-old, you're like, what is that? It looked like a fire, but it also didn't feel like one, and it wasn't red. It was just like blue. It was electrical. And based on the heating systems that we were using, because it was so cold outside and it was hot inside, the condensation was causing like the electric to spark, and it sparked enough that it caught, the walls caught on fire where the outlets were. So I immediately went into autopilot. I can recall it makes me like, it makes me get a little bit emotional, because all I kept hearing was my brother crying, and we were sharing the same room. And he has this crib that has like this child lock, which I never really understood. My mom knew how to do it, but you had to like kick the lever a certain way to drop the bars, and I couldn't do it. So I started like anxiously pulling to try to break the crib to get him out. And I noticed he couldn't breathe. So he was almost like choking a bit, and I had to react. So I opened the door, which I felt like was the first mistake. As soon as I opened the door, the fire just went, like it just grew. And I can hear the windows cracking. A couple of them popped, I guess from the energy or from the heat. So I ran to the room, called my mom. She told me to go back to bed. She thought I was having a nightmare, and she felt in my voice like something was wrong. So she got up, and then she went to the room, and then she saw it, and she panicked, but in a good way. It like clicked her to get moving, and she started, you know, just yelling, "We got to get out! We got to get out! Tenemos que ir, you know." So I know my sisters were across the hall. A small hall, thank God. But I opened the door and their room was cold. So the fire hadn't got, none of the flames or anything had got to their side. And we helped wrap them in the quilts that they were sleeping in. And basically that's all we had, sadly. My mom thought very, very quickly to push us out. And she went and got an olla, like a pot in the kitchen, just to see if she could turn it off. And it was, I felt so bad for her, because when she threw, like, the water, you see, it was like gas. It was like gasoline instead of water. So she dropped the pan and she started freaking out. And she had enough, I guess, wits to pick up the phone and use the cord to like go as far as she can away from the fire to call 911.
Wow.
And yeah, we were able to somehow, I knew I was 10, but all I thought about was, how do I get my family out? How do I help my mom? How can we survive this? Right. But within seconds, all this kind of role play has to happen. And then we go outside, and within like minutes, the fire department starts showing up. The ambulance starts showing up. We just had like our batas, which is basically like long t-shirts and you know, your nightgown kind of. And we turn around, the house is like, it's just like crumbling. And excuse me. I don't talk about this often because it was so long ago. You kind of like, you want to bury it a bit because it hurts. But thank God nobody was hurt. Like nobody was hurt.
Yeah.
And they started asking us all these questions. And again, we our first language is Spanish. So we're talking in Spanish and my mom is just trying to calm us down. The neighbor came over, Pat. Oh, she's so sweet. And she just didn't want us to keep looking at what was going on. So she took us to her side of the yard. And yeah, we just, from there, it was like, life changed in a whole another way for me, and that's what's impacted me the most.
What do you think you learned from that experience?
What I learned, what's in my heart and my brain and my soul since that night, is to live in the purpose of helping other people. When you know what to do for yourself, that's one thing. Some people focus only on themselves, but when you become a vessel or a tool for the higher purpose of life and to make humanity better, it really is about stepping outside of sometimes your own body, your own ego, your own thoughts, controlling your emotions enough to know that this is the best decision for all that are there at that time, for all that are there in the future. And I thought about my brother, my little brother. He was like a year and a half, I would say. I mean, I thought about him surviving, not me. I could have got burned trying to reach to get him out. It was him surviving, my mom knowing, my sisters getting out, and letting the fire department know exactly what I saw, because by the time they got there, they couldn't tell what started the fire. And I was like, there was like a blue flame coming from the wall. And, you know, it almost becomes, how can I help prevent this from happening to someone else? Right. Or if someone goes through the same tragedy, how can I help? How can I connect with them to help? Because something like that, it's hard to get over.
Yeah.
It could affect the family enough to where it, you know, it could cause like a breakage in the family, due to the fact that it was so traumatic. A couple of
or
us
people
never
start blaming each other or whatever happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Like anything negative, thank God my family's strong. I mean, Latinos are very like resilient, I would say. We considered it such a strong blessing for so long that we didn't want to turn the page and look at it as if it was this really bad curse or like a, you know, something bad that happened. So it really helped us as a family unite mm-hmm. even more as a family and always have something to be grateful for because we witnessed something that could have been, you know, a whole nother story I could be
so
telling.
Tragic. Yeah, right. Absolutely. I mean, God, you just had me choking up. That was such a powerful story. You know, there was a summer that I worked in the Hamptons and I lived in a house with everybody I was working with. It was a 10 bedroom house and we had 5 dogs between all of us. I had 2 myself and it was 4th of July weekend. And we went out that night before we started work. And we got a call 45 minutes after we left the house that the house was on fire. And I remember getting in my car, driving home to get to the fire, being like, my 2 dogs are in there. And that, I don't know if you're an animal person, but my dogs are the, you know, my life. And I had you brought up before we started our conversation here, you brought up September 11th. I had lost my fiance. My fiance was killed in the World Trade Center. And I had gotten these 2 dogs. I had gotten one dog was named Rudy Giuliani because he was a hero at the time. And the other dog was Ozzy Osbourne because, I was invited to the White House Correspondents' Dinner and I sat next to Ozzy Osbourne and it was the day I was supposed to be married. And so I named I got the dog, that the second dog. And so I named him Ozzy. Anyway, Ozzy and Rudy were amazing. In this house and I heard it was burning down. And I kept saying in the car with the 4 guys that were driving with me that also were in the house, if these dogs die, it will be the end of me. Like I will not be able to get back. And when we pulled up to the house, there was 4 fire trucks. This is a huge house. And it was gone. The house was gone. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And luckily, long story short, I will say all 5 dogs survived. A neighbor found some, the fire department found the others. They were taken to the neighbor's house. It was an incredible story of survival. We had nothing. We were left with nothing. I think J. Crew sponsored us for the weekend so we could open up our nightclub that we were hosting that weekend. But to get to your point, it bonded us. Some of these people I haven't talked to in 15, 20 years, but when we do see each other, or we speak on the phone or we text or we see each other on Instagram, we will say, do you remember 4th of July, that fire? I can't believe it. And I love you always. Like it's something that bonds you together. And also it reminds you of how precious life was. And it was an electrical fire, by the way, that's how it was started. Mm. And those are the most scary situations. Cause it's not like, first of all, you can't blame anybody, but it can happen to anyone. So it's a totally frightening situation. I, you know, think it's amazing that as a child you went through that, you survived it, your whole family was great. And, you know, I'm sorry I made you talk about that.
That's okay.
But I love that you have that in your background because it makes you appreciate your family and life in general.
Yes, absolutely.
What were your parents' thoughts about you wanting to be a dancer? Were they like Ivan, before you became Flips, where they're like, that's crazy. You need to be a doctor. Like, what were they saying?
Yes, very close to that. So my father's a registered nurse at the VA hospital. Yeah. And he works in the operating room. So he's saving lives daily. Mm-hmm. And here I am like playing LL Cool J and like Missy Elliott and like dancing. And they were supportive, but they wanted me to be more focused on like an A game. That's like a B game, right?
Yeah. It's a hobby, probably.
Yeah. Right? Just to have fun. And then once I started, I had a couple of major injuries and that's when they were like, okay, put the brakes on whatever this is. Cause you're not about to end up in the hospital, you know, in and out of hospitals for the rest of your life. So I almost made a pact with my dad. I remember one summer right out of high school, and I wanted to go to USF, University of South Florida in Tampa. And I loved Miami, University of Miami, for their sports, right? So I had this conundrum moment where I'm like, maybe I don't want to pick up the books right now. Maybe I just want to like chill, relax, and express myself. That summer, I told my dad, let me get this out of my system and I'll hit the books. Man, that's when it took off. I practiced every day. I won multiple competitions to the point where I was scouted for Universal Studios by G-Force Entertainment, a guy named Mike Garcia. Mm-hmm. And he went to a battle and I actually won first place. I won $500. My parents were like, where'd you get that money? Because in the envelope, it was $100 bills and it came from the club. So they were like, what were you doing? You know? Right. And yeah, that summer was what changed my life. In the course of a couple of months, I was so determined and dedicated to being the very best B-boy breaker I could be, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it led to something great or not. And it's funny that behind me, look, I have the movie Honey, which was my first film. And then I had a lead role in this one with Chris Brown called Battle of the Year. So I wear that so proudly because my dad actually said, you know what? If you got to do that and get your rocks off, go ahead. But at the end of this summer, you know, I knew what he was getting at because he was already prepping me to work. I worked at the Moffitt Cancer Center as well, helping transport cancer patients. So I was already being prepped and groomed, like you were saying, you should be a doctor, you should study law, you know? So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to go through some of these other things. Like, what was your most favorite thing? I mean, I don't even know how you pick.
Exactly.
But like, do you prefer to be in it or you prefer to like in the movie or do you prefer to choreograph?
That's actually a really good question. My alter ego does not want me to hang up my dance shoes. So Flips always wants to be in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Ivan Velez is cool to be creative, like behind directing, producing, and choreographing as well. But I think for this day and age, if you don't show your face, sometimes they forget about you, like out of sight, out of mind. So it's been the last couple of years. I just did the movie Spirited with Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell. And when people see me in that movie, they're like, oh my God, we thought you like hung up your dance shoes. I was like, nah, man, you get the itch sometimes to just, and when they call you for a cameo, I want to do honor to everything I've done in life, to everyone who's helped me, everyone who's taught me. And the moment you say I'm too good for that, I'm cool, but you're being offered a cameo in a Super Bowl appearance or a film or a commercial, you should, in order to inspire the next generation, you should show face. You should wear that proudly. And it's like a badge of honor. So it's a really good question that you asked. Do I like to be in front of the camera or behind? I love creating the moment, though. I really do. I love writing scripts or producing the content and then putting it forth on the table and having a brand say, that's a great idea, Flips. Let's go for it. And then you have an Adidas commercial, you know?
Yeah. But like for this movie you're talking about, was someone else in charge of doing the choreography and you had to follow it? And how does that feel when you're like, well, this sort of sucks? Or like you're dancing with Ryan Reynolds, who probably, you know, I'm guessing he's not the best dancer, but maybe he is. I don't know.
Well, for his role and for the movie's sake, they had the perfect ensemble because you have some of the world's the best tap dancers. They had guys on pogo sticks that can flip. So for me, it was like the perfect storm, right? It's like organized chaos. You have all this happening. And then Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds, who are, you know, okay dancers, but they're incredible actors and great producers, right? They write their own lines. They freestyle their own stuff on set. They don't have to be as good as we are. But to be quite honest, they rehearsed so long and they rehearsed so hard that they got the moves down. So they do their own dancing in the movie. Yeah, there were dance doubles ready to go on if need be, but maybe their ego got in the way. They're like, no, we got this. We got this. We don't want to cutaway shot. So it was really,
that's so cool.
It was really cool to see them work that hard. And I was like, man, are they going to get it in time? Like, what do they got? 3 weeks, you know, and all the dancers are like waiting to see the outcome and they nailed it. So it's exciting.
I know a show that you've done is Dancing with the Stars. You participated in that. What was your role there?
Yes, I got to choreograph. Oh, this one I love. So I flew in. I was on tour with Janet Jackson at the time. Wow. And got flown in to work on Dancing with the Stars to choreograph Apollo Ono and Julianne Hough. And when you go into a freestyle realm, whatever they're good at, you want to enhance that in any way that you can. Well, we did that. And Julianne was like, Flips, Apollo really wants to break. And I was like, well, what can he do? Like, let's pull the hat out of the, you know, let's pull the rabbit out of the hat.
Yeah.
And we got him doing windmills. He did windmills. He did swipes. He did freezes. And they got perfect tens. They got 10 from all three judges. So it was amazing. After
but
that.
But had he done this before you got your hands on him? Like, did he know what he
said,
was doing?
He said that he used to break a little bit, okay. Right? So that's when I was like, clearly, like, what's your artillery? What do you have in the bag? Let's pull it out. Right. And the windmills, sometimes it's like riding a bike, right? So if you've had the move in the past, just like shake the rust off and get it going. And we only had 3 days. So he worked really hard. And he's an athlete. He's an he's got eight medals, Olympic yeah. medals. So yeah. If anyone is determined more than me to get it, it was him for sure.
Right. So I was must have made you so proud watching that.
Yes. After that one, Mario Lopez was like, let's get Flips in here to help me out. Right. And then after that, Drew Lachey. So three different seasons, I was able to come in and just work with them to enhance whatever it is they kind of already have in their artillery and create moments. Excuse me. Sorry. Which is what I did for Cirque du Soleil. You help create the moment. You help right. create the staple of that moment. And people remember that for the rest of their life. You might not have to choreograph the entire thing. Yeah. You create these moments that are great visuals.
So we talked about Cirque du Soleil a little bit, but you don't really hear a lot about break dancing. So you can also choreograph other dance moves, right?
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
Oh, yes. I started with gymnastics. I was a gymnast. So if you guys, if anyone knows Dominique Moceanu, she's gold medalist for the U.S., I trained with her at Omar K. Lightfoot Center in Tampa, Florida. Wow. That's how I really got into elite type of gymnastics and stuff like that. And through, you know, copying Bruce Lee, copying gymnastics and copying Michael Jackson, I was able to embody like my own style. I think that's why they would call me Flips at the pep rallies in school. They'd be like, Flips, Flips, the guy that flips, the dude that flips. And it became my name or my alter ego. But when you choreograph or when I choreograph these things, I try to pull and pluck from my expertise, what I know best, my biggest truth and my rawest kind of creative idea, I guess. So when I do choreograph, I've choreographed stunts as well. I've done stunt coordinating. And that's like gracefully falling or learning how to break your fall, learning how to creatively maybe like jump out of a car, do a nice little roll and pop up. Sometimes you just take the fall, but you could get hurt, seriously injured that way. Mm-hmm. And yeah, learn how to move and shift with movement and momentum and defy the laws of physics. I love it. I love doing that. That's why Cirque is definitely a realm where I can thrive. Cirque du Soleil has the best of the best acrobats, the best of the best. And some of the breakers actually, they don't say they're breakdancers. They just say they're acrobats or they're extreme martial artists or,
right.
And they learn the choreography and, you know, in its rawest form, they're breakers.
Yeah. That's amazing.
To move different. Mm-hmm.
You've talked a lot about, childhood, children. Mm-hmm. These are kids that are obviously wanting to get to a certain place in their life. And that takes auditions. I know you know a lot about auditions and being in the role of casting people. So can you talk a little bit about what is important for kids or their parents to know about succeeding in auditions and booking those roles?
That's such a great question. Okay, so sitting back, the difference between auditioning and sitting back and picking someone auditioning, you want to stand out immediately. So if there is a special trick, a special move, if you can do a split, if you could do a backflip, if you can run up the wall and do something, what we want to see is something outside the norm, outside the box. We get bored by the same old, as everyone starts looking like carbon copies because they're all doing the same TikTok dance, right?
Yeah.
But if you can come into a room, command the room, command the presence, right? So you walk into a room, the first thing you do, most people, is they get nervous. They get nervous, they look at the table and they're like, okay, who's gonna judge me or who's gonna let me pass or whatnot. As soon as you walk in, own it. Say hi, greet them, wink, shake hands, high fives. It's all about your energy, right? And once we receive that right away, then we start our judging process. Like, how do they look? Are they too tall? Are they too short? Do they have personality? Are they smiling? It's all about your energy. You want to exchange that right away, right? Mm-hmm. Not with fear, because you can smell that. Casting directors can smell fear, unpreparedness. Be prepared. Be early. It's better that you're early than you're late. Once you're late, you got a strike on you.
I'm just curious, as a casting director, can you see through the fear? Because I know, my best friend is a casting director and she's always talking to me about people that are coming through her office. But it's interesting to know, like, when do you give them a pass on that? Because obviously everyone's fearful. Can you kind of spot talent when it's there and it's raw?
Yes. Once they get past the fear, you can feel the freedom of their spirit once they start dancing, right?
And that's got to be the most important thing, right? To see the authentic self as opposed to what their coach told them, what their mom told them, what they think they're supposed to do for you. Right. I would assume, I mean, listen, I'm way too insecure to be an actress or do any sort of auditions, but I would assume from knowing Allison that, you know, it'll stand out if you are who you are and you'll get the part that way, right?
Yes. Then we don't have to do any work at that point. If you're you and you come forth and I was like, we just put a camera on you and you bring that, you're booked. Sometimes the thing that I was saying about fear is that it paralyzes your freedom to be who you want to be just because you're nervous or maybe you were late or maybe you feel like you wore the wrong outfit. But once the music plays or once you start your audition and we feel that you're giving us the rawest you, that's when we see, like they say, pressure makes diamonds. We see your diamond and your light shine the best. So, and I always say when I'm casting, I go, there you are. I'll say that to them literally, like, there you are. The person that walked in 5 minutes ago that was signing in was like a whole nother person. So,
Oh, I love that. I love that you give people the, you know, because I think so many times people are wanting to fill a role for you as opposed to being like, I get the role, but like, let me show you who I am and what I can add to the role. Probably.
Yes. I mean, and here's another flips fun fact. We've had auditions for movies and the person that walked in, we're thinking could play this role. Then the person they became at the audition, we wrote in roles for them because that's something that was above and beyond what we were even expecting.
Right.
Or we give them lines, like a featured dancer now has a major role because they were able to show us the best them. And it's something that we weren't even ready. We're like, oh my God, did you see that? Wait. Who's your agent? You know, like before they even leave, you don't even want them to leave the room. They've actually like consumed so much joy. And I love when actors, dancers, stuntmen, acrobats can do that because there's something so unique in everyone's footprint and everyone's DNA, there's something different. So when they come forth with their talent in their rawest form, you feel like you've never seen that before. Mm-hmm. It could be an acrobat and you're like, yeah, but I've never seen it done like that. That's when you really stand out.
Right. I'm curious, you've worked with so many artists. Is there someone that you've worked with that you think is underrated or misunderstood as a dancer?
Oh, as a dancer. Misunderstood. I would say me.
Okay. Tell me why. I love that answer.
Yeah. I would say I was given a chance at a time during the movie Honey and You Got Served where people did not understand where breaking belongs. So I didn't lie to myself, but in auditions, I would have to write down that I'm a freestyler or I'm an extreme martial artist or I'm everything but the root of who I am is a b-boy, a breakdancer, right? And I was signing in all these other creative ways to hide. It wasn't really a shame. It was just the misunderstanding of hip-hop at that time. Yeah. Hip-hop was misunderstood. It was like it was like gangster rap. And it's like, no, it's not gangster. It's not all one thing. Mm-hmm. Breakdancing is not two gangs battling it out. It's actually two crews that are at home practicing for hours that are displaying, you know, through a bit of aggression, they are displaying who's supreme, who's superior, who runs the area code, right? And then people start to say, misunderstanding those facts. And we even almost got arrested. Like, the police broke up a battle at the mall. And I was like, why is our culture so misunderstood? Why can I shine in a film and almost get arrested at a mall? That makes no sense to me. So I always felt misunderstood. And I wouldn't want to put it past any other dancer that felt they were misunderstood, but I feel like our era, our time and what we were doing at our time. I don't know if you remember the LA riots. There was, Crazy Legs was one of the breakdancers that was going to get arrested for dancing in front of the police as they like blockaded Venice Beach. He was just breaking. And I was like, we're so misunderstood. I was there, I was taking pictures. I didn't want to break. When I saw the helicopters, I was like, I'm deaf. I'm not going to break or I'm going to end up in jail and my parents are going to kill me. So,
right.
Yeah.
Isn't that so interesting? Because now if that happened and someone's doing their like TikTok move, you know, it's like no one's getting arrested for that, you know?
Right.
So that's
And now millions and millions and millions of people worldwide are tuning in.
Yeah.
To something so positive that came from the street, completely misunderstood. Breaking has been misunderstood for a very long time. And that's why I say when I was able to transition into the industry from just battling to now being in all these movies, one of the most misunderstood things was who I really was. Like, this is just me in my rawest form. But if I'm not called a breakdancer, I can't go to this audition because they're looking for acrobats that can dance.
Right.
Well, acrobats that can dance are B-boys.
Right. So it must feel amazing that now you guys are being acknowledged and are going to be in the Paris 2024 Olympics. So do you think it's going to be a one and done? Because I read that it wasn't accepted in the LA 2028 Olympics. Am I right on that?
You are right, and it stings even as you say it again. I'm like,
I
can't believe no, in a good way. Because the I think the masses need to know that why is it not being brought back to the origin place, which is the United States of America? Why would they not vote it in? Yeah. So right now,
do you think that there's a chance that people will, if it becomes such a big deal, you know, people who aren't familiar will be like wowed by this whole thing? Is there a chance it could be added to 2028 or no, it's done?
I believe in the slot in which it was voted, skateboarding took over that slot.
Got it.
So I'm not sure. That would be a whole nother conversation with the International Olympic Committee as to what other sport it could substitute for.
Sure.
Because when you have extreme new sports, like a new sport added, skateboarding, surfing, rock climbing, then if there's only one slot that it can move into and three others were voted into those slots, it's not even like a sub of one of those slots. So I don't know how it would make its way in. However, there is talks for 2032, and I believe that's in London. So again, not in the United States, but I would have thought that the Olympic Committee would be proud to bring it back home. And in Buenos Aires in 2018, it was one of the most viewed new sports. I mean, the stats were incredible how many people tuned in and for how long. There was like stats on that. Like, people wouldn't even leave. They wanted to see the next battle. And these battles take hours to go through. Like, when I was judging in Paris just recently, we pulled like a 16-hour shift in one day to see three categories: juniors, B-boys, and B-girls. So, I mean, hundreds of people sign up, thousands of people are running qualifiers, and then you get down to the best of the best. And I think with hip hop turning 50 years old last year and breaking being in the Olympics 40 years ago, you know, as special guest performers to close out the Olympics, you would think that it would grow to just become a part of the DNA of the Olympics. And it feels like martial arts. It feels like gymnastics. You do get the spins of ice skating, you know? It's very much in that fabric of Olympics. And now what these dancers and athletes, I call them dance-leets, dance athletes, what these people are doing, B-boys and B-girls alike, it's beyond the capacity of when I started breaking. Even in my wildest dream, I don't think I would have seen what they're doing now. And it's out of control. I'm like, this is next level, because it keeps evolving. So imagine what we're going to see this summer that was already viral last year. It's crazy. It's crazy.
So let's get educated on the Olympics and breaking and what we need to know. So tell us what you were seeing in Paris. First of all, so how does it work? There's a USA team. Has that been determined who's on the Team USA for breaking?
Yes, right now Team USA is consisted of, and it's a one-on-one, so it's not crews, unfortunately. Yeah, it's one-on-ones, and we got B-girl Sunny, and we got B-boy Victor. So they're representing the United States of America at the moment, which is amazing because they're really good.
It's one of each gender, and that's
correct.
It?
Correct. That's it. That's it per country.
Oh, okay. So now how are we ranked, if it works that way, against the other countries?
Okay. So right now, if we were at a podium, right, you got gold, silver, and bronze. The United States, unfortunately, is not in the top three. Right now we're ranking 7th. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now that's just
that's based on what you saw in Paris.
Correct. And on points as well, right? But as they battle it out, we can reign supreme. There's still a chance for us to reign supreme, you know? The Bad News Bears can still win. Come on.
Everybody loves a comeback story.
Yes.
So this is going to be... Okay, so Team USA is what we need to watch for Paris 2024. We got to root for them. So in the meantime, in the next 4 months, 5 months, whatever it's going to be, 6 months, what are they going to be working on to get to on that podium?
Okay, so here's the other flips fun fact, is a lot of these dancers were posting what they were doing on social media, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. As of the last couple of months, not a lot of people are posting, because you're actually giving ammunition for your, you know, competitors to watch you, dissect you, and know what to do. Once they do this, I'm going to do that. So it's kind of crazy that people are kind of going into the lab or the bat cave, you know?
Right. They're going to hibernation mode of what they're going to do. Yeah.
And they're doing, so I was in Seoul, South Korea. I've been to Japan, Madagascar as well, and Reunion Island. Some of these kids are training. These other countries are being trained by the government with these machines to help your breathing.
This is very reminiscent of Rocky IV. Do you remember Rocky IV?
Absolutely. It is. This is the new Rocky. Like, breaking is the new, it's the new Rocky story.
I love this. Okay.
Yeah, they're...
But we're not using machines. We're just having them, like, run in Iowa, like, up a hill, right? Like, what are we doing to train them?
In Colorado Springs, at the training facility, the Olympic training facility, they're even dumping in ice baths. Like, it's something that breakers don't do, like hip hop. We don't do that, right?
Right.
And they're doing everything that they can, from their dietary supplements, they're on specific diets, they are, their workout regimens. Okay, so I do a thing called Breakthrough Fitness, where I utilize fitness to, like, jumping jacks, and then you create a top rock out of the jumping jacks, so that breakers or people that are learning to break are also being fit. However, some of these training regimens are like pushing their stamina level, and they're helping them be lean yet cut, because you have to be flexible. You need to have torque and gain velocity as you're doing all these moves. So you can't just get buff, you know? It's not like gymnastics where you want to get big up top or big in the legs so you can flip better. So a lot of these breakers are kind of pushing the limit as far as health is concerned, to make sure that they are the very best at their prime. And most of the time, it's just, how good are your dance moves? Now it's like, how in shape are you? How's your stamina? Like, how long can you rock, or how long can you go? So it's creating, like, like cyborg breakers, like next level.
Oh my God, this is amazing. Machines. This is like, again, right out of Rocky, and we all know Rocky wins. So
yes,
we still have a chance.
Let's go. I always say I'm USA all day, USA all day.
So will you be there? Will you be in Paris?
Yes, I'm currently working on having my own show. Yeah, my own travel show to show you the inside the circle of what it's like to be. Because there's a lot of people that are trying to report it, but they can't. You know, you got to get inside the cipher, right, inside the circle. And I'm one of those that, whether I'm dancing or not, I got my shell toes on right now. Look, I'm always ready. RTB, ready to battle. I'm always ready.
I love it.
But yeah, I want the people to see and understand how we can go from having a slice of pizza to going like one-on-one for a world title. And hip hop, really, it's all about peace, unity, love, and having fun. Those are the elements of hip hop, right? So I always think about, again, talking about being misunderstood, is when they only see us battle and they see these heated rivalries, people think that there's so much animosity, but there's so much love in the dance. And there's also this whole thing of passing the torch to the new generation. So I want my show to highlight all of that. Like, well, me in my rawest form, I'm always happy-go-lucky until you bite my move, you steal my style, or you talk bad about me, then we're battling for sure, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think for Paris, I'm working on, yeah, having my own little spinoff show.
Oh, I love that. I can't wait. So, I hope that happens.
Are you going? Will you be there?
You know, what's funny. You and I were in Paris, I think, at the same time. I was just there for the holiday for like 10 days. And it's an amazing place, right? I mean, who wouldn't want to be there? But
so romantic.
No, I don't think I'm going to be there for the Olympics. But I, now that I've had this conversation with you, I'm definitely going to be watching and pulling for Team USA for breaking. Yes. I think this is so fun. I'm inspired by it. And I think it's just such a cool thing to follow now that I know this story of the history of it, right? Okay, you've talked a couple times about Flip's fun facts. Give me like two or three just in general that you want us to know that are important on the subject, obviously, but that we haven't heard from you yet.
A Flip's fun fact. Yep. Oh, here's a Flip's fun fact about me is, okay, I got clocked at 132 head spins in 60 seconds. So that's 2.2 spins per second. If you break it down.
How do you do that? How do you not get nauseous?
Well, you do have to train. So when you're upside down, you feel the blood rushing. So you have to control your breathing, number one. You feel like you're scuba diving because the faster you spin, gravity kind of pulls your lungs together. So you have to control that, how much G-force you're using due to the torque of your legs, right? Spinning around. Then you do want to take the forms almost like ice skating. You do want to take those forms and create shapes with your arms as you're spinning. You have to create shapes with your arms and your legs. Now, as you pull in, the tighter you are, the faster you'll spin, right? That's just it's the yin and the yang of a head spin. Is a lot of people want the balance and control and they want their hands out and their legs out, but you get the torque and the speed by pulling in because you're definitely testing gravity.
How do you maintain that balance on your head though?
Yeah, the balance has to be right at the very top. Your chest has to be out and you want to lock in. You definitely want to lock in because what happens is if you're not one with your spine and your neck and the top of your head, you get into a wobble. But what it causes you to wobble if you're not centered and you're not locked in. Okay. Once you start wobbling and you get off axis, you're not going to gain any points, definitely from the judges. And what it ends up having to do is it slows down your movement. So you end up either falling or kind of stopping your move. It's really hard to correct, to bring it back in and lock it back in. But yeah, it takes a lot. It's a lot going on at one time. You got your legs going, right, to get your speed up. Then you got your arms controlling that. You're controlling your breath while all of your muscles in your core are locking in like ballet. Mm-hmm. So think of ice skating and ballet, flip it upside down. That's a Flip's fun fact. And then get it going. And then you got a head spin. Wow.
You know, it's so, I love that you're giving people advice on how to do that because dancing is such a big part of people's lives, adults and kids, but kids, let's talk about them for a second. My daughter's 11. During COVID, we were living in New York City. We came down to Florida, and I was trying to contact people to like get her moving. Do you know what I mean? Cause we were like sitting in a house, and in Florida you can be out. And I found, this guy who owned his own dance studio. His name is Sean Green. And the studio actually had closed because of COVID. And I somehow got his cell phone and I said, listen, I'd love for you to come over to my house and teach my daughter. Like, you're teaching her a camp. I know we can't have other kids over, whatever, but for 5 days, let's, you know, from like 1 to 4, teacher. And at the time, TikTok was such a big deal, right? So he came over, had a personality like yours, amazing, amazing with kids, got her out of her shell. And by the end of the week, they started posting these videos of him teaching her these dance moves, and it went viral. The guy, long story short, was able to open up his studio again, now has 2 or 3, travels all over the country to teach kids and adults how to dance within the TikTok realm, you know, because it's fun little bits that people can learn that are not dancers. And it's great for mental health. You know, it got us out of COVID. Do you know what I mean? And not only was it great for his business, but it was great for kids, for adults. I had never danced. I'm not a dancer. He made me do my first TikTok dance, blah, blah, blah. It was so horrifying, but like, he made me good. You know what I mean? For a second, for like 4 seconds, whatever. But like, so I love dance. I appreciate it. I think it's amazing. Everyone watches Dancing with the Stars. Everyone watches these shows about dancers. And I just think it's such a, you know, for people that really connect on that level with that those artistic movements, and they enjoy music, it's so important for people. So I think this episode is obviously going to be great for people that are interested in dance in general, but now want to follow dance as a real acknowledged sport in the Olympics. So I'm really excited about it. I think our listeners will be excited. Where do you think you see your future going? What is on your bucket list for the future that you haven't done?
That I haven't done. Oh, we tapped a little bit about it. It's me having, my own show, my own travel show, whether it's NBC, ABC, MTV, ESPN, as long as they really see and understand how I'm trying to deliver our culture to the mainstream, which is awesome. Also, I do have another Flips fun fact, but in the future, I want to continue to do my foundation, which is called Footprints, Leave Your Mark. So what I started doing, and I'd love to do more of this in the future with anyone who wants to team up, I would have sometimes as a dancer, you get to keep your gear or your clothes when you're doing all these projects, right? So if you're on tour with Janet Jackson and you get to keep the outfits, you're on tour with LL Cool J or Missy Elliott, they have awesome Adidas and Levi's gear, you get to keep it, right? What I was doing was on my birthday, I would throw an event. Kids would come, they would battle, everybody wins, because the prizes is me leaving my mark with these kids by giving them all of the tour gear, gear from the movies. So if you've seen one of the scenes and You Got Served and we're wearing the blue Adidas tracksuit, I would give that as a gift to one of the kids that battled. And by you leaving your mark with them, it creates almost like a channel for them to make their dreams come true. They're like, oh my God, I could be in a movie. Flips just gave me the outfit from You Got Served, or from Honey, or for his hat from Battle of the Year. And I felt like a lot of dancers we have to do that. We have to pass the torch. We can't just keep it to ourselves and all the knowledge to ourselves. We have to give nuggets of knowledge and wisdom and items. You know, I'll take this jacket off my back when I'm in Paris and give it to not necessarily the winner, but a kid that needs it.
Yeah,
they need those omens to continue to keep growing and their dreams to come true. So that's one of the main things I want to continue. That's on my bucket list, is for the world to see Footprints, Leave Your Mark, and what it can do for the culture and for kids and for the future. Yeah, so that's pretty big. I want to continue doing movies, so commercials. I guess on my bucket list is to continue thriving, because sometimes you feel like you hit this this glass ceiling and you can't go beyond it. But my bucket list is for everything to continue to keep growing. I think that Yeah, that would be a great bucket list.
Is there one? Is there one person you haven't worked with yet that you would love to work with?
Ooh, that I have not. Mm-hmm. That I would love.
Seems like you've worked with almost everybody, but
I would love. I was on Oprah Winfrey with Madonna, but we were dancing for Madonna. I would love to work with Oprah Winfrey on something like Footprints, if that makes sense. That's something to where, yeah, like I know what Oprah can do and I know who she can touch and I know who we could reach with this idea. So someone like Oprah Winfrey. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Flips. I think you're amazing. I think you're the best. I can't wait to see what happens in your future. Tell our listeners where they can find you, follow you.
Oh, yes. You can find me on Ivan Flips Velez, IvanFlipzVelez. That's across all social. So Instagram, Twitter, which is now X, right? YouTube, Ivan Flips Velez. Yeah, I try to brand myself under the same thing so that it's easy to reach me. But yeah. Ivan and Flips Velez.
If people DM you, do you respond? Are you the person reading?
Yeah, I think I respond very, very quickly. And sometimes I respond too much. I'm like, oh, here's footage of me doing this. And here's a picture of me with so-and-so. So yeah, I do respond immediately.
Oh, that's great. But because I think that, you know, if there's ever kids that want your advice or want to know how to do something, it's great to be able to connect with someone like you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure talking.
It's an honor.
I cannot wait to follow your path. And obviously we will be watching the 2024 Olympics with breaking. And we wish Team USA the best of luck.
Let's go Team USA all day.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Misunderstood.